first fruits that are brought by the farmer to the temple and given as a gift to the Kohen in the temple. So the Mishnah begins with saying the following. Hakona shnei ilanos besoch shtei chaveiro. What happens if I buy two trees in my friend's field? What was included in that purchase? Hareza lo kana karka. According to the first opinion, I just have the trees, I don't have the land between them. I don't have the land underneath them. I don't have any land. So one second, well then how do the trees stay? So you have to say that the seller has obligated all of his land to providing for my trees to be able to survive. His land has a lien on it to be able to support my trees. But basically, I don't own any of his land. I just own the two trees. Reb Meir Omer, Kana Karka. Reb Meir says he does acquire the land. If I bought two trees, I got the land between them and underneath them. So now, according to the Tana Kama, that I don't own the land, Higdilu, if the trees grow, if the branches grow, Lo Yishvet, the owner of the land, the seller, can't take down the branches. Even though the branches are causing damage to his field, because now they're shading and not allowing things to grow as well as they could, his field is obligated to the trees. When he sold the two trees without giving any land, so basically he was saying, and how are the trees going to survive? My land will help them survive. So he now can't do something which will harm the trees by trimming the leaves because of his land. His land is obligated to the trees. However, if the tree was cut down, what grows out of the trunk will belong to the buyer, because the tree belongs to the buyer. If it was cut down fully, what grows out of the roots, shel balakarka, will belong to the owner of the land, because the land never was transferred to the buyer, and what comes from the roots is coming from the land. Vimesu. Now, if the buyer only has the two trees, he doesn't own the land between them. If the trees die, ain lo karka, he doesn't have any rights to the land, he can't replant them. However, kana shlosha, if a person buys three trees, everybody agrees now. Kana karka, he's acquired the land. Therefore, higdilu, if the branches are getting so big that they're now harming not the land between the trees, but the land outside of the trees, because they're providing too much shade, Yishved, the owner of the field, can trim those branches, because his land is not obligated. He can trim the branches. Va'olam min ha'gezam min ha'sharashim, and whatever grows from the trunk or from the roots, shalo, belong to the buyer, because even if it grows from the roots, he owns the land there. And if the trees die, yesh lo karka, he still owns that land. He can replant the trees because it's all his.
So it's interesting. The less he owns of the tree and the land, the more rights he has.
The less he owns of the land, in a certain way he has rights. He has rights that if his branches now are spreading and harming the seller, the seller can't do anything, because he can say to the seller, since you didn't give me land, all of your land is obligated to providing for my trees, because you sold me trees. You can't just take out my trees. So then you can't even take off the branches, even though they're harming another part of your land, because all of your land is obligated to me.
But there's three of them. Then
if it's three trees, then it's just the land between the trees that he owns.
And then the other guy, he can just come and start trimming.
He can trim, yeah, whatever is harming his land. Right? So now we try to apply this concept of two trees bought versus three trees bought to a different area of halacha, not the question of replanting, not the question of the branches, but to the question of Bikurim, the first fruits. We know that we just read it on the Haggadah, the farmer who brings the first fruit, he says, I've come, made a declaration, God has given me this land, Al Aretz HaTovah Nasata Li. What happens if he doesn't have land? He just owns the fruit. So now we learned in the Mishnah in Bikurim, Hakone Shnei Ilanos Besoch Shel Chaveiro, someone who buys two trees in his friend's fields. We just learned that according to the Tana Kama, he doesn't own the land. So then maybe the fruits that grow off those trees, the first fruit, should still be brought to Yerushalayim as Bikurim. V'hino koreit, but he cannot make the declaration. He cannot say the passage of Bikurim, because one of the things that's said in that declaration is Priha Adama Asher Nasatali. Here's the fruit of the land that you gave me. He doesn't own any land. He doesn't have any Adama. However, Rabbi Meir Omer, maybe Vikore. Meir says he can bring it and he can read. Why? Because we saw in our Mishnah, Meir says if you buy two trees within a field, you get the land between them. So he does have land. So he can say Adama Asher Nasatali, the land that you gave to me. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, a Chiddush. He said, Machayev Ha'er Meir. Meir would say that you have to bring Bikurim and read Af Belokeach Peres Menashuk. Even if you bought a new fruit from the market and you don't own any tree or land. Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that? Midiktani Mishnah Yaseir, because there's an extra Mishnah. Our Mishnah already taught that Rabbi Meir says, if you buy two trees, you own the land in between. So if you own the land in between, then, of course, you should bring Bikurim and make the declaration. So why do we have to have another Mishnah tell us this? In Bikurim, it's already, we can figure it out from our Mishnah here. So since we have a second Mishnah, it must be it's to teach us this law, that not only does he bring, but he makes a declaration for any fruit. So the Gemara, as the Gemara explains, Mechti, because let's take a look. Tana le di yesh lo karka. Rabbi Meir already said in our Mishnah that when you buy two trees, you bought the land in between them too. So then pshita de mevi vikore. So it should be obvious. If you own trees and land, of course the first fruits should be brought as bikurim. And you can make the declaration that thanking God for the land that he gave you. So why does the Mishnah in Bikurim have to repeat what should be figured out from our Mishnah here in Bava Basra? Elashmamina. So what does this prove us? Prove to us. Machayev Hayar Bimeir. Bimeir used to obligate even beyond just owning two trees, even buying fruits on the market. So the Gemara says, but according to this Chiddush of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, how could a guy who buys fruit in the market have to bring Bikurim and make the declaration? Vaksiv, but part of the declaration is what's written, Asher Tavi Me'artzecha, that which you will bring from your land. It's not his land. He bought it in the market. That just means you don't bring as Bikurim fruit from America, fruit from China or Syria, things from outside the land of Israel. But if it's in the land of Israel, you bring Bikurim. But it says the first fruit of your land. Well, that just means Lamuti Ad Masakum. If it's the land that a non-Jew has purchased in the land of Israel, those fruits don't need Bikurim. Ivoksiv, but it says Asher Nasatali, that he says, thank you God for the land that you gave me. If this man who's bringing the Bikurim doesn't own any land, he just bought some fruits in the market, how could he say the land that you gave me? So the Gemara says, what it means is, I'm thanking you God that you gave the fruits to me. Zuzi, you gave me the money, v'zavni b'hu, and with the money I was able to buy the fruits. That's also called the land that you gave me. You gave me the money, and you gave me the fruits. Masiv Rabba. Now Rabba challenges. We learned. Hakona ilan echad betoch shel chavero. If a person buys a single tree in his land, in his friend's area, then he certainly doesn't have land, even according to the Tanakama. Maybe v'eino kore. Even according to the mayor, maybe v'eino kore. And he brings the fruits as Bikurim, but he can't make the declaration because he can't say the land that you gave me. Lefisha lo kana karka, because in buying a single tree, he hasn't acquired land. And let's see who the author of this law is. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the view of Rabbi Meir. So I thought you said, according to Rabbi Meir, you bring Bikurim and make the declaration even when you buy fruits on the market. Here he's saying you bought a tree and you can't make the declaration. To Yufta, so that disproves Rav Yehuda and Shmuel's idea in Rabbi Meir. They said that according to Rabbi Meir, you would make the declaration for fruit on the market. You see, according to Rabbi Meir, if you don't own land, you don't make the declaration. So Gemara says, you're right. We have disproven it.
If you rent the land, it's admati or not?
I would think so, yeah.
So it's here, Rabbi Meir will be almost right.
But it's not the case. Yeah, he didn't rent.
It's not the case. It's here.
Right. What about if you have the fruit tree in the potted, in a pot?
Right. So it depends if the pot has a hole in it. If the pot has a hole in it, it's part of the ground. And then, you know, it could be ground if it doesn't have a hole. Yeah, it's considered drawing from the ground. But if it doesn't have a hole in it, then it's considered detached.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding something, but if you have a tree in someone else's land, but you bought the tree, you know what I mean? But you're getting the life and nourishment from the tree, so the owner of the property can't really do anything to affect that tree.
Correct.
In essence, it's as if it's your property.
So that's the interesting idea. You're making a very good point. It's not that it's your property. He needs to allow his property to service you, but it's still his property. Sort of like a guy who has a lien or some type of a, you know, a guy who has the upstairs apartment. The lower apartment has to support the beams of the upstairs apartment, but the guy with the upstairs apartment does not own the lower apartment. The lower apartment has to help him. So the field has to help the tree, but the tree owner does not own any field. He doesn't own land. Amalei Reb Shimon ben Eliakim le Reb Elazar. Reb Shimon ben Eliakim said to Reb Elazar, "My time of Rabbi Meir Bilan Echad. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Meir about a single tree who doesn't make the declaration? My time to Rabbanan b'shnei ilanos. And why do the Rabbanan say if you own two trees, you bring but you don't make the declaration? You shouldn't have to bring it all." So Amar lo, Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim, "Davar sharishonim lo amru botam." This is something that the earlier authorities, Rabbi Meir and the sages, didn't give an explanation for. Tishaleni b'veis hamedrash kadei levai sheni. You're going to ask me about it in public in the Beis Medrash to embarrass me, to show that I don't know the reason? I'm a rabbi. So Rabbi said, "My kasha, why was this such a difficult question?" Tumor Rabbi Meir b'ilan echad sfukei misafkele. Rabbanan b'shnei ilana sfukei misafkele. So maybe the explanation is like this. The Rabbi Meir in one tree, and Rabbanan, when a guy buys two trees, they just don't know. They're not sure. Maybe buying a single tree, according to Rabbi Meir, does have some land with it. Maybe buying two trees, according to the Rabbanan, does have some land with it. So then you'd have to bring Bikurim and really say. Maybe it doesn't have any land with it. Then you're really exempt from Bikurim. So since Bikurim is a biblical mitzvah, let's be strict. Let's be strict to bring. But in terms of making the declaration, let's not make the declaration, because maybe he really doesn't own any land, and then it would be a false declaration. It would be lies. You can't say that. So Gemara says, "Ami misafkale." Is there really a doubt? V'akatani, but we just said, "Lafisha lo kana karka divrei Rabbi Meir." Rabbi Meir says that when you only buy a single tree in your friend's land, you can't make the declaration because you didn't own any of the land. Amos, and maybe that Bryce is not saying definitively that a person who buys a single tree does not own land. It's just saying that maybe he doesn't own land. Shemalo kana karka. Maybe he hasn't acquired land. So the Gemara now asks, "Veleichus tadil malav bikurim ninu." But why aren't we worried, if you're saying that maybe he didn't own the land, why aren't we worried that maybe it's not bikurim? V'kama ayol chulin lazara. And if it's not bikurim because he doesn't own the land, this farmer is bringing something secular into the temple, and that he's not allowed to do.
Saying that he will say with declaration,
with two trees, but with one tree, he says to bring without a declaration. So the Gemara suggests a strange idea. Maybe the Makachi Lahu, according to Rabbi Meir, and according to the Chachamim, in two trees, and according to Rabbi Meir, in one tree, he actually is supposed to bring these Bikurim and first sanctify them. I said, what? But the Kohen's going to eat it. If the kohen eats it, how could it be holy? To parakluhu. He makes it holy on condition. He says it's holy if this is not bikurim. If this is bikurim, it's not holy. And then on the side that it might be holy, I'm going to redeem it. But still, v'dom alav bikurim ninu. Maybe it really wasn't bikurim. V'kamaf glumi chumo meiser. And by giving it as bikurim, you're not fulfilling the law of giving truma and meiser from the non-holy things, non-holy things. You're supposed to separate truma 2%, give it to the kohen. You're supposed to separate another 10%, give it as meiser. But here, you are if you're bringing it as bikurim, he's not tithing them. So how could the kohen eat it without trumas and maisos being separated from it? So Gemara says, you know what? We tell him he has to do that too. Demafresh luhu. We make this man who owns a single tree according to Rabbi Meir, or two trees according to the Chachamim, to separate truma and maiser before he gives these fruits to the kohen as bikurim. So bishma truma gedola. Okay, maybe the truma gedola, the yayiv lala kohen, he can give it to the kohen. Maaser sheni nami, the second 10%, also yoyev lo lekoin. You can give that to the kohen. Maaser ani nami yoyev le lekoin ani. If it's years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, and we give 10% to the poor, so maybe he gave this 10% to the kohen. Ela maaser rishon to Levi hu, but the maaser rishon goes to a Levi, leman yoyev le. And where is he giving it to? Where is he giving that to? It's like my answer is the Yayav Leila Kohen. He can give the Maaser Rishon also to the Kohen according to these opinions. They are following Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanya went in a Braisa. Truma Gedola the Kohen. The Truma gets given to the Kohen. Maaser Rishon is supposed to be given to a Levi only, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Maaser Rishon af l'Kohen. Maaser Rishon can be given to the Kohen. So the Gemara asks, but still, v'dilma bikurim hu. But maybe you're saying it is bikurim, because we're saying we don't know. Maybe the land was acquired, maybe the land was not acquired. If the land was acquired, it's a full obligation of bikurim. If the land wasn't acquired, it's not an obligation. And you're just donating it. And how can you bring that which isn't holy into the temple? You made it holy when you walk it into the temple. But maybe it's bikurim, uboy kriya, and you're not reading, and really you should be reading. So the answer is kriya lo ma'akva. It's kosher bikurim, even without the reading, even without the declaration. Lo, is that really true? I've amar Reb Zeira, but didn't Reb Zeira say, kala roi lebila ein bila ma'akevespo? We have a rule in a Karban Mincha that if they had a very, very large amount, if a person were to bring 60 esronim of flour, so that would not be a kosher Karban Mincha. Why? Because the Karban Mincha, the meal offering, ideally would be flour and oil mixed together in a utensil. But if there is a very, very large amount, so the temple utensils weren't big enough for mixing in such large amounts. So you say, 1 second, I don't care. Even if it wasn't mixed, it's still kosher. So it's true. If it wasn't mixed, it's kosher. But it has to be something which could be mixed. That's the rule. Kol haro'i lebila. If it's an amount and a utensil that is fit for mixing, it could have been mixed. But it wasn't mixed, it's kosher. Ein bila ma'kevespo. The mixing is not an absolute requirement. But kol she'eino ro'i lebila. But if it's an amount or a utensil where you can't mix, then the fact that you can't mix is a requirement, and now the mincha isn't kosher. So the same thing should be true about bikurim. It may be true that in theory you don't need to make the declaration when you bring the Bikurim. But here, where you can't make the declaration, because he can't say the land you gave me, because it may not be his land, then the fact that he can't make the declaration should be dispositive. It should make it impossible.
So the analogy we're drawing here is
to bring the Bikurim.
The quantity of the Ola is so large, it doesn't fit into the utensils, therefore it cannot be mixed.
Right, and then we say the fact that it can't be mixed is a sine qua non, means that it's not a kosher, it's not an acceptable offering since it can't be mixed. So if we say that about the Karban Mincha, so that's a general rule. Anytime we have something which its doing is not a absolute obligation, but the inability to do it is an absolute obligation, or an absolute requirement. So the same should be true about the declaration. Ah, good morning, welcome. If you can't make the declaration, then the declaration should be a requirement. So then you can't bring the Bikurim.
But here it says, for any measure of flour that is suitable for mixing, does not invalidate the offering.
Correct.
Suitable. But you don't get the mitzvah, though.
You don't get the best way of actually doing the mixing. That's right.
Right,
that's right. Good morning. So the Gemara suggests the Avid Lehu Krib Yosef Rib Chanina. So you know what the owner of the Bikurim can do? He can do it like Krib Yosef Rib Chanina. Tamar Bitzon Vishagon Biyad Shliach, who said if the owner harvested the Bikurim and sent them through an agent, Umei Shliach Baderech, or if an agent picked the fruits but he died on his way to Yerushalayim, Mevi ve'eno kore. The Bikurim can be given, and there wouldn't be a need for any declaration. So according to this, the law of a declaration is not a part of the service. The declaration of the farmer is not part of the Bikurim service when there is an emissary bringing it. And that's what's going on here. Ask the Gemara, my time, or what's the reason? Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'lokachta v'heveisa, and you shall take, and it should have said, and you shall bring. So that's saying, atshetehe lekicha, the only time you have the obligation of making the declaration is when the same person does both the picking and the bringing. Vahaleka, and that you don't have here. Asks the Gemara. Amar le Rav Acha, b'rei de Rav Avaya le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rav Avaya, said to Rav Ashi, Mechti, let's take a look. Psukim ninu. After all, it's just saying a bunch of psukim. How could we say that that's such a big deal if you can't say them? Likri, so just say them. Who cares that you don't have land? Amarle, the answer is, Mishum demerzi kashikra, because it looks like it's false. To say I'm thanking God for the land he gave me when I don't have land, it looks false. Rav Misharshia, read Rav Chia Amar, Rav Misharsha, the son of Rav Chia, said, "Dil ma'asi lafku inhu mitshumu meiser." If a person makes the recitation, then people are going to think that it is bikurim, and as bikurim from a full-fledged obligation, it's exempt from truma and maaser. And here, really, we said it. Actually, you are giving truma and maaser with it because you give some of it to the kohen as truma and maaser. So therefore, we don't want to make the declaration. We don't want people to think that it is absolutely Bikurim. Thank you. I don't think we have a minion yet, so...